Well, we've got open lines for you. Full moon open lines right here. 3 more hours for you now of Coast to Coast AM. Plus, we're going to open up a special hotline for you. It's the Monster Moment Hotline. Now, what the heck is that? Sometime in your life, you have come across a monster. Sometime in your life. It could be a little kid. It could be an event. It could be you were out camping. It could be a shadow person. It could be the devil. Wherever you were, sometime in your life, you've come across a monster. Here's that hotline number for you. 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. That's the Monster Moment Hotline, in addition to Full Moon Open Lines, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go now to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Dan, the blind man of the Angels of Joplin, Missouri.
Hey, Daniel. How are you?
Well, buddy, I am persevering. I need the help of the audience tonight.
What's
in
that?
Dealing with a very negative entity which has attached itself mainly to the subconscious mind of a dear friend of mine. This has become so serious that he's beginning to mess around with the intellectual properties of people.
Now tell me, Dan, how do we know that something's happened to him?
Well, first of all, I and other psychics have been monitoring this situation for 7 months, and it's gotten worse and worse. His behavior has changed. He has changed from this warm and loving and sincere and very punctual person to a person where he sees the endeavors of other people and even his own life as just sort of a shallow little game. And he messes around with things. He's almost lost all faith in human nature.
How did the demon get him?
Well, this is what we think. He had a very bad childhood, and he has a lot of bottled up rage against his wealthy family that don't have anything to do with him.
Mm.
And that opened the door, basically. Now, George, it has reached a point where young Jason, who is 24, I gave him the benefit of the doubt and asked him to do some internet-based work for me. And because I said, now, Jason, what we're going to do here is something that I have wanted to do in regards to these projects for 42 years. And you have spoken with me enough to know that I'm a very dedicated and perseverant person.
Sure. And he was going to be your eyes.
Yes. So I recorded a piece to bring men and women together, a very spontaneous, wonderful piece. I'm an excellent singer and a composer, and I recorded an a cappella piece. I recorded it. He said, Dan, don't worry about the recording quality. I can clean it up. I will correct it. And this wonderful piece goes through key changes, style changes, tempo changes. You see, it's an excellent piece. Well, he got all jealous, and he went and put it out on MySpace. And he has made people of associations for the blind. He's made musicians locally, regionally, and nationally all angry at him because of what he has done. And I talked with him, and he just blows me off about taking it down. I had to contact even a state representative from Missouri to one of the national federations for the blind to get a hold of MySpace in my behalf to get this taken down.
Did they do that for you?
It's going to be gone, taken care of sometime this weekend, I believe. Now, the thing about it is he's become very evasive.
Why would he do this to you?
Well, because his life is falling apart. And my life, I basically have vision. I have purpose in my life. And he associates me with this bottled up rage. It's the old passive-aggressive thing.
You see, Dan, how do you know that a demon has got him?
Well,
how do we know he's not just a rotten kid?
We perceive it, George. And, I mean, I call up psychics, and I don't even tell them anything like what I've told you in the audience. And they bring it up on their own.
How do we get rid of this demon, Dan?
Well, what we need to do is, first of all, everybody together tonight, I'm going to give you the tag. First of all, Jason of Dan, the blind man of the angels. And then in your mind, go attention, subconscious mind of young Jason. You must fight the demon. And then to the demon, you send this message. Demon, go back to the other dimension or you will be destroyed.
And what I want you to do, Dan, is to let us know what happened when people do this. Let's go to the Monster Moment line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Larry, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hi.
What's going on, man?
Life is well. So we have a monster in the mist.
I'm a special operator, special forces. I've been back in country from Afghanistan.
Well, thank you for serving, by the way, Larry.
You know how it is. I mean, you just can't. It's just kind of hard to take compliments when you know this has just been your life and this is your job.
I know, but civilians ought to compliment you.
Well, you know, I can tell you that that in Afghanistan, you know, we're really doing a lot of good. There's a lot of good's happening over there. But make a long story short, I've been listening to you for so long, from so many bases, from San Antonio to Alabama, from all everywhere. But one night, shadow people, one night we were near, actually we were in an area called the Panjar Valley.
Yeah.
We were coming through. There was like five Humvees and a couple of light trucks, Toyota trucks. We were coming through there. And the road, it was kind of rolling hills. It ran into a dip where it kind of had short walls, maybe 8 or 10 foot walls on each side where, you know, it kind of boxes in. Well, that's where they ambushes. Long story short, they hit our front vehicle.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so, well, we had got out and had made a perimeter, and, you know, we're returning fire, and I could see I was trying to direct my gunner in the turret to where I could see tracers, where I could see fire coming from.
Yeah.
Well, as he was shooting, an RPG came in and hit pretty close to us next to a rock and kind of addled me. And from then, and as I had, I flipped my night vision up, and so then I was watching. All I could see was like what the moonlight was showing. Well, there was people walking around. I mean, I could see shadows. I mean, and everybody was fine. I mean, the whole thing was lit up. I mean, we were out on our own. We had no helicopter cover, anything. It was like I can only explain it like this. When I saw when somebody fell, you know, out maybe 50 or 100 yards, I would keep directing fire because the shadow would either reach down like it was somebody else coming up trying to pick up a weapon or stand there or walk off. And I mean, it didn't last long, maybe 30 minutes. And I mean, I don't know if I was seeing. I have no idea. I don't know.
Was it like you were seeing the spirit of?
But see, we also
the dead ones.
Yeah, that's what it was like. You know, and I said something to one of my good friends. You know, and he kind of joked about it. You know, those Afghan army, they're really, really superstitious about stuff. I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah, they are.
Especially in those mountain areas. You know, they believe that, you know, the gods are, you know, live in, you know, those areas. And, you know, they're really, really superstitious. So that's the weirdest thing, even now, to think about it.
Because, and you're the only one who saw this. Nobody else did?
Well, I'm the only one. And I see, and I, what happened, I didn't recognize it until the man in the turret said, there's nobody there. There's nobody there. You know, and because I was trying to put fire on fire.
But you could see like a shadow or spirit of somebody.
Right. And they were either bending over, like they were, like somebody was coming up over a ridge to pick up a weapon. Or they were standing there where, you know, I knew I just saw somebody fall.
Was it just one of them, or were they all over the place, these shadow people?
There was probably, 10, 15, 20, I don't know. But, I mean,
But were these 10, 15 of already dead militants out there?
Okay. I want to believe that. I can't say for sure, but that's the only thing that was making sense. We had just took an RPG, and the concussion. None of it hit us, but just the concussion it just about sucks all the air out of your lungs when it hits real close to you. And I don't know if I got jarred around, but I honestly believe that the people, you know, the guys that were falling, that we were fighting, it looked like their spirits were walking away, kneeling down, or they were trying to continue to fight.
Yeah, and just never knew they were dead. And what happened, Larry? How did they end? I mean, how did it go away?
They just, after my friend that was up in the turret out of the top of the Humvee, he kept hollering back down at me, you know, that there's nobody there, and I, you know, and so they were there the whole time, and it was probably about 8 hours, but it probably was maybe a 20 or 30 minute fight.
So until you guys left, they stayed around.
Yeah, we didn't leave. They left, and then we had a medevac come in, and then some armed Blackhawks come in, you know, to escort the medevacs. And we stayed in that area, you know, till it broke daylight to try to continue the fight. But
man, they were monsters, Larry, I guess.
I'm back in country now. I've been up there twice, and my wife is a professional, and I've got two little twin boys.
Well, good for you.
I've been in a long time, and, you know, I don't, I love your show.
Let me ask you a little bit about Afghanistan while I've got you. And were you a reservist when you went in, or were you full-time military?
I've been in since 1989.
Okay. What are your plans now? You just going to take it easy for a little bit, or what are you prepared to do?
Well, I'm home until I have to go back to Fort Benning. I got to go back to Fort Benning. So
when is your service up?
I've got 2.5 years left on this.
Two and a half more on this one. Okay.
I've just re-upped. You know, just got to. I've signed up 4 years.
You're gonna be a lifer? You're gonna keep going?
I might as well. I'm so close, and I'm. You know, I want to go back. You know, at least one more time.
What do they say out there, our troops, about Osama bin Laden? I mean, do they think he's alive and hiding? Do they think he's dead? Do they think he never existed? What do they say about him?
They believe he's alive. I mean, I can't speak for, you know, I can only speak for my friends. You know,
right.
We believe that he is. We believe that he's over in over in Pakistan, just over the
border.
Border over there, and it's just so chaotic. And then I know you know that the New York Times run this secret mission. Did you see this?
I heard about that.
You know, and I don't know. I wasn't involved in any of that. So who knows? Who, you know, all I can think of is that there was a friend of mine died because of that, you know, because
in that mission?
In that mission, you know, because they blowed it out of the water, you know, they went and said, there's a secret mission. So
somebody,
there was some operators that were in that area, you know, I have to believe that they were. So, and if they were, had infiltrated, you know, or trying to get close to him, you know, they don't question, they nip everything in the butt. They don't play around.
Why don't they just cluster bomb the area? Too many civilians in the area?
Yep, and it's family, it's families, it's tribes, you know, and it's, you know, it's like a no man's land.
Is he contained? Do you think he's contained, though?
You know, I think he's contained. Yeah, I do. To that area. You know, even Pakistan doesn't have any control in that area.
No, I know. It's
crazy.
You know,
I mean, and there's some hardcore extremists, you know, whatever you want to call them, Taliban, whoever, you know, they are in there, and those, they just have that belief.
Do the troops who are in Afghanistan, do the troops in Iraq, I don't know if you ever have an opportunity to talk with those men and women, but do they share the same views? I mean, in Afghanistan, we went in there to get the Taliban and to get bin Laden, though we didn't get him.
Right.
And there seemed to have been a real mission for Afghanistan.
Right.
In Iraq, we all have a different feeling about that situation. Do some of the troops feel that not that way now about Iraq?
You know,
I don't want to put you on the spot, by the way.
I can tell you that Afghanistan, my whole heart is in that country. Those people, I'm a country boy, George. And I went into the military, and I was like Forrest Gump. I was the square peg in a square hole. I loved it.
Lieutenant Dan.
And I just, Afghanistan was personal, and that's where we needed to be. At that time, we went in, and you know, you get down to the bare truth, and six guys took over Afghanistan.
Yeah, you're right.
Guys that went in there, air traffic controller, and just anyway, they walked themselves all the way to the airport. But you know, when he escaped, when it was Operation Anaconda, and I know you remember that. That's when they think that he slipped out. Iraq opened up, and you know, at the very beginning, you know, I'm going to go wherever they send me. But
of course, yeah, you're in the military. That's your job.
Right. But now, it just seems like now there's a lot of people over in Iraq that are Iraqis that are proud people, and they want to take their country up back, you know. But it's just, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the words for it. The only thing, you know, I can say there's probably, I think, around 2,700 have died over there so far. I'm guessing it. It was around 26 a few weeks ago.
You mean of Americans?
Americans.
And it's up to 4,000 now, I think, isn't it?
I thought it was. Oh yeah. What am I thinking? Okay.
It's up to 4,000. That's a different end. Larry, I got to run.
Okay, bro.
I got to take this break. Stay safe. We'll be back. Well, this weekend I'm going to be at Chicago at the psychotronics.org conference. There's information on the coasttocoastam.com website, or again, you can go to their website, psychotronics.org. See you this weekend in Chicago. Nothing like Full Moon Fridays into Saturday morning. This night, by the way, it's going by very fast. West of the Rockies, Rudy in Fresno, California. Hello, Rudy. How are you?
I'm okay, George. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I'm actually a first-time caller.
Well, good for you. What got you to call?
Well, something that's been I've been thinking about. You said it's Full Moon Friday, and something's been on my mind. I want to tell you who the coming Antichrist is. But first, a little background. Right. The first Rosemary's Baby revealed to us that he was born already. The movies after that, the Omen and Damien movies, told us that he was being educated and he was being going to school in England. And as he grew up, he became a English politician.
Simply Hollywood, Rudy, or do you think there was a message there?
I think it was, you know, well, there's a message there. And I think knowing Hollywood and how it could have been a message coming to us for all these years.
Hmm.
And so this person who I think is becoming Antichrist became to the high office in England. And recently he gave up his position. And now he's in charge of the Middle East Peace Quartet.
That's Tony Blair.
That's who I'm saying. He just turned down a trip to the Middle East because of a fear of an assassination attempt.
He's right. Blair? Right.
And that you just broke today that George Bush had an attempted assassination attempt on him.
Well, not attempted, but they picked up some people that they thought might have wanted to try to do something. That's correct.
Okay. I think we're being set up, George, in a roundabout way to let things start to happen as the world economy fails and our country goes through our troubles and Iran and Israel. The only thing that needs to be revealed is if the assassination attempt is successful, that's the only way that he can come back with satanic powers and be the person or the monster that he's going to be.
Where do the 3 6s come in, if at all?
That I have no idea about. That's just comes unto us in the Bible in Revelation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, everything's worth looking at. Everything's worth looking at. John Hoag, who does Nostradamus predictions, believes too that the Antichrist is here somewhere. Next up, let's go to Sean in Texas, first time caller. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
About that. Hey, I just had a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
Whatever happened to that guy that he saw the alien?
Whoop, you're breaking up right where that was going to. Try that again.
Where the guy saw an alien at the window?
So far, he's doing his thing. I know we've been talking to him about a possible lie detector test, which he said he's willing to do. We're just trying to find the right polygraph examiner. But he's still out there.
Still out there. All right, that's cool. And my second question was, I know you're probably going to tell me to call the number list, but it kind of gets on my nerves, but I see the 11 all the time. I see 6-11, 7-11, 8-11. I see all the 11. It just keeps happening and happening. And my girlfriend, she gets mad at me because I'll be like, look, it's 8-11. It's 9-11. It's 10. She goes, quit it. I don't want to do this no more. I just don't understand it. I was trying to get a hold of her, you know, find out about it, but do you know anything about that?
Well, the 11-11, change, enlightenment, all the other numbers, of course, you'd be the best for it. If you keep seeing 7-11, I'd go to Vegas if I were you.
Right.
you never know. But definitely get to her website, which is numberslady.com. You can email her that way.
Right. And I have one more question if I have a chance.
Sure. Yeah.
There was also another guy you had on your show, and he didn't want to give his name out. I kind of knew why, but he said that he kept getting these visions. Of this, like someone was buried under a bridge, and he had a map of it, and I never heard anything else about that either. I didn't know if you remembered or if he.
That was I think that was one of our open line callers, and that was about it on him. All right, thanks, Sean. Next up, Paul in Michigan. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up. I was listening to a. Jack Barringer, you had him on your show not too long ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about his theories on the Garden of Eden that he learned from Zacharias Sitchin.
Indeed.
What I was thinking now, when I was listening to him, I was getting more of an aspect of the Garden of Eden as a laboratory.
Uh-huh.
Now, if the Anunnaki was, you know, like us in some form or way, if they're messing with DNA and... you know, making us to be slaves, they must have had some sort of laboratory. It wasn't just like out of thin air or just magically made us. They had to have some kind of laboratory. And I was thinking maybe the laboratory was actually called Eden.
Could have been. Could have been in their ship.
Right. Or even on Earth, like a planetary like dome that they had, and they kept it all under their surveillance.
That's true.
And on top of that... Now, how they said they were creating us to be slaves. What I was thinking now, if I'm a Roman Catholic, I hate to even admit this theory out there, but as I see it, if they were actually building us to be slaves, wouldn't that made like Lucifer almost the good guy?
You know, there's a theory out there that says Lucifer was one of the good guys, and that over the years that changed, of course, and the perception of who it was he was changed as well. It's an interesting theory. It's a hot potato, and we've never had anybody on as a guest like that, but it might be a good story. I personally think Lucifer wasn't one of the good guys, but, you know, you never know. Monster Line, Monster Moments. Christy, somewhere in Kentucky, I hear, huh?
Yes, how are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. What an honor to get through. I've been dying to talk to somebody about my incident back in 1990. I just moved out of my parents' house, got my first apartment, and I had a roommate. And we were in bed one night, and I was laying there trying to go to sleep. And about the time I dozed off, I woke right back up with this black, dark, floating entity, like almost like I really couldn't, like, didn't have like a face or really a figure. It was just like black and floating above me, and it was really, really evil. And it felt really, really heavy, like a burden and heavy, and like it was trying to suck the life out of me in a way, not like necessarily like the air, but just, it was just really, really evil and like almost paralyzing me. And about the time I was able to get up and finally get up out of bed and go wake my roommate up, the phone rang and it was her cousin calling saying, is something wrong? Are you guys okay? He just had a funny feeling.
Weird.
That something was wrong. Yeah, very weird. And now nothing really ever came of that. I told him what had happened or whatever, and he just said he had a feeling. But very, very shortly after that, my parents went through a very, very ugly divorce. My life itself went like in a whirlwind spin, kind of, you know, went into some bad areas of my life. I was in my early 20s, so I started doing all the experimental stuff and, you know, bar hopping and all that stuff. And just a lot of bad things happened for a few years to me after that, shortly after that. And I've been dying to talk to somebody about this black entity thing. Like, you know, have you ever heard of anything like that
before? Oh, yeah, Christy. We get lots of people who see these things. Some of them evil, some of them not. And I mean, they're there. I don't know what conjures it up. Now, in your particular case, when you first saw it, what kind of state of mind were you in? I mean, were you positive, negative about things? What was going on with your life?
No, I was feeling pretty. I just moved out and gotten my first apartment. I was engaged to be married. And I mean, you know, it seemed like things were going pretty good. I was going to school at college part-time and had just gotten a full-time job, making pretty decent money at the time for my age anyway. And I think things seemed to be pretty good, but apparently somebody had something else in mind for me, I guess.
Maybe so. Well, you keep listening. You'll get related stories to what happened to you. West of the Rockies, Riley in Hawaii. You're on the air. Hey, Riley.
Aloha, George.
Aloha to you, too.
And aloha, America.
Perfect.
Yeah, this is like a beautiful full moon night. I'm on my front porch looking over the water, and it's just gorgeous.
But oh, my gosh. God's country.
It is. It is. Come on over and stay for 5 days. Go take a look at the volcano.
I got to do it.
Yeah, I'll give you my number. You can stay here for free for 5 days. I'm serious. I'm on the hot
maybe not a bad deal, Riley.
Well, I'll give my number to that lady, and you can call me, and we'll make arrangements.
All right.
I got a couple of questions to ask you. You had that guy on, that guy that found that little rock with the crop circle thing on it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to get in there. I said, what kind of a rock was it?
Well,
it
wasn't a gemstone. It was a rock that had some kind of magnetic properties to it, which is strange. And it was a burgundy wine color.
It had
those incredible etchings like the crop formation that occurred in England.
Right.
And they're going to try to look at it and see if they can analyze it. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah. My question was this. He said he had a lot of readings with his metal detector in that pit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't they take some kind of ground penetrating radar and see what's under there? Dig.
I know.
I get a feeling that could be some kind of...
What if part of the craft is still under?
Well, some kind of, maybe there's some kind of signaling device or something, you know what I mean?
Well, you would have thought that they would have swept the place clean originally after the crash in 47, but who knows? Maybe they missed it.
On the ground, maybe something. I don't know. Then I got another question for you. All this trouble in the world, you know, the Bible talks about...
it's everywhere.
Those people walking around the walls of Jericho for 3 days, or whatever, what was it, 3 weeks, 3 days? And then at the sound of the trumpet, the walls of Jericho would fall.
Yep.
Right? Now,
think it was 3 days.
How about Coast to Coast come up with a couple of phrases, and everybody concentrate on those phrases to change what's going on in our government, in our country, in the world. You know, everybody start thinking like they did walking around the walls of Jericho.
You know, Riley, I've been thinking about us doing a massive mind concentration effort, but I'm still thinking about it, and I'll tell you why. It seems like every time I've done this, something has worked, but something has also had consequences attached to it. And I need to check into this really closely because, you know, if we save the ills in one corner of the globe, do we create a problem in another? It's a tough question. Let's go to Jerry in Spring, Texas. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Good, Jerry. Not bad.
I got a couple of things I want to throw out there.
Okay.
It's the last guest you had on there talking about alcohol. Is anything in the books you wrote or read about the side switch grass and several other different items? You ever seen anything about China berries?
China berries? No, I have not.
You know, China berries are very rich in alcohol. When we was up in East Texas, I lived up there, we had a clubhouse out there. It had a big China berry tree. And those robins and all would get up there and get drunk, fall out on the ground. take them about 2 hours to come around to where they could fly again.
and they went right back to the tree again, didn't they?
And then if they did fly, well, they'd fly into something because they's blind. But it makes a lot of alcohol, you know.
Yeah.
They grow on the tree. I don't know whether you're familiar with the China berry or not, are you?
Drunk birds. No, I am not, Jerry. I'm not.
They kind of grow on a deal just like grapes or cherries, you know.
Wonder if you can use it for fuel.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You ferment that stuff, ain't no telling how much alcohol you get out of it.
That's a good China berries. Okay, I'm going to look into that.
And the other thing is I'm going to ask you, you had a guest on talking about time travel.
Mm-hmm.
He brought
Dr. Mallett.
He brought up something that rocked my world that I didn't know. Now, I've always been into induction coils and things like that, you know, and transformers and induction coils and telephone coils.
Yeah.
And even the coil on your car is an induction coil, you know, for the spark. He brought up that he could take a laser and form a light in a corkscrew, and it would be like an electromagnet. And I thought to myself, I said, what if he could do that? I wonder if they couldn't use fiber optic and wind the coil just like Tesla did.
I bet they could. And I think he's been looking at fiber optic usage, too. He was also talking about reflecting that laser light in the little mirrors.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I think he's on to something, Jerry.
If you happen to bring it up to him sometime, if you ever get back with him there. And one other question I was going to ask you. Are you planning any kind of visit anytime while I'm still alive down here? I'm on radio. I listen to the radio station KTRH.
Well, let's see. I was in Houston last year.
Well, I never knew it.
Yep. I was there. I was there for the station.
Passed out or something. Missed it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be in Austin, Texas in January, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of handicapped for traveling or anything. I'm diabetic and bedridden. I can still drive, but if I get to a location, you know where you got to do a lot of walking when I'm dead in the water.
Well, you keep listening because wherever I travel, I always mention it for about 2 weeks before I go.
Okay.
All right, Jerry. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Next up, let's go to Joe in Arizona on our wild card line. Hey, Joe.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I've been trying to get on for weeks, trying to get on this subject. What I want to talk about tonight is getting accuracy in speech and honesty in speech.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of this is so enormous because it's not the U.S. dollar that's falling against the euro dollar and against all these things. It's the Federal Reserve note. And they're two different things, George.
Yep. Yep. You are so right, Joe.
And the dollar is defined only one place in the money laws. It's never been repealed. It's still there. It was the Coinage Mint Act of 1792. And I think people should know that the dollar is defined as a weight of silver. And it's 412.5 grains of 90% silver and other alloy, or 71.25 grains. Now, this is important because we just in our speech, we got the habit of just saying, the dollar's falling, the dollar's falling. The dollar is not falling. It's the Federal Reserve note. And the more we talk about the Federal Reserve note falling, then people are going to realize that the Federal Reserve are the real gangsters.
And a private organization.
Exactly. They're owned by 3/4 of them are actually foreigners. They're foreigners.
Yep. Absolutely. The Europeans, the big banks, they would love to put the United States down to its knees. And unfortunately, they seem to be doing a pretty good job of that right now. You're good, Jer. You're good. You know what? Smartest audience in the world. I'll tell you that. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Just fire away. I'll be back in Los Angeles, by the way, on Monday. My little two-week stint here in St. Louis is complete, and I'll be going out there for some time. I'll give you an update on our sci-fi project. Hopefully, I'll know more information in about a week or two as well on what the air dates possibly will be for the 5 pilots that we taped several months ago. And if those pilots have any good showings in the ratings, if, for example, all of you listen and watched it, it would succeed. It would be a regular show as well. So I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. Full Moon Friday open lines in addition to the Monster Hotline right here on Coast to Coast AM.